This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo. Woohoo! We made it! Woohoo! Woo.
Yeah, 100 shows. We even got a nice card.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheprick with a pass left corner, head open three for the tie. Good! Wiley head knocks down a three.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
It's over! The Bullpups have knocked off Bishop the Age! 62 McPherson, 58 the Age in overtime!
Everything happening in the sports world. And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We've got a little lemon cheesecake.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, man who might need a little nap this afternoon, Steve Sell.
You've got a lot more energy than I do.
let's pretend like I've been at this level of excitement all morning long, and that I've just been doing laps around the office, maybe a little caffeine in me. I've been running around screaming, Steve. No, I think this is the loudest I've been all morning.
Well, I'm still dragging, so.
We're dragging a little bit after a long day at baseball regionals yesterday.
You leave at 11 in the morning and get home almost 11 at night. That's a long day.
It was a long day. It was a fun day for bullpup baseball. It wasn't a fun ending.
Right.
But it was a great day of high school baseball.
It really was.
In terms of regionals, in the game that the bullpups played in the final against Buehler, you can't really ask for a better game. High school baseball, you're going to expect some errors. You're going to expect some comebacks and some rallies, and you're going to expect a fun game at the end to have a chance to win with a berth that stayed on the line. The Bullpups had everything you could have asked for a regional final game, and for the fans that were in haze watching or listening here,
yeah. It
was a fun game to be a part of. But unfortunately, for really the first time this year, Buehler bested McPherson.
Right.
And I know that you have been a part of a lot of games in the past or in a lot of years, whether it's football or any other sport, not as much basketball, but where Buehler has been on the winning end a lot of times.
Football, baseball, yeah.
And this year, it's been the year of the Bullpups in many ways, whether it's league championships, getting to the state tournament, or mainly just playing Buehler. It's been the year of the Bullpups. Even with McPherson down 5-1 in the regional final game, you felt okay because you knew they had a little spurt left in them.
They always make a run at
something. You know that bullpup baseball team, the third time through the order, they're going to get you some runs. And this was not even the third time through the order. This was still just time number two. Down 5-1. And Steve, you and I made the comment that the game was about to get out of hand, where emotionally, down 5-1, you go up for the fourth time.
We said during the game, if the Bullpups don't score, this was the fourth inning, bottom of the fourth, it was 5-1. If McPherson doesn't score in this inning, you could almost put the dagger.
You could just feel the air starting to let out.
Yeah, you really could. And the Bullpups were very anxious. You know, they were swinging at some pitches they normally wouldn't swing at. They were trying to make something happen. But they were very anxious and swinging balls out of the strike zone. And Connor Ogburn was just rolling along. Through three innings, the Bullpups had not even gotten a ball out of the infield. And then, and I go back to this, you know, I don't think anybody noticed this. Between innings, they made him take off his necklace or chain or whatever had he around his neck. And, you know, a pitcher gets in a routine, you know, like touching their cap or, well, when he'd throw a pitch, you know, he'd kind of dangle with that necklace he was wearing.
Steve, are you a big fan of that song, Do Your Chain Hang Low?
Well, I don't know what that
Do
is.
Do It Wobble to the Flow?
I don't know what that is.
But Shine in the Light?
I have
Is
no
it
clue.
Platinum? Is it gold?
Well, I don't
that
know.
That was a real popular song back in like 06.
But anyway, it's almost like Ogburn drew strength from that chain, because as soon as he took that chain off, his compass just went all over the place, and he came out of the game. He left the game without the Bullpups ever hitting a ball out of the infield. Every out was a grounder on the infield or a strikeout, which there weren't very many strikeouts that he threw. But I was very surprised that he was not allowed to at least try to get one out and, you know, pitch until he got an out. They went to the hook quick. The Bullpups took advantage. They scored four runs. And really, you know, I talked about in my story today, of the seven Buehler runs, they probably really only earned about one.
Yeah.
They really did. Because the Bullpups made, I want to say six errors, but there's a couple of other plays that really were like mental errors, like on a ground ball, instead of charging the ground ball, and all you had to do was charge it, make the throw, and it's probably an easy out. Instead, we laid back, and it was a slow-moving grounder, and the runner beat it out. To me, those are mental errors and don't show up in the box score. But Buehler was flawless all seven innings of their game with Hayes, and the first three innings they were flawless against McPherson, and then they kind of had that little hiccup where the Bullpups only had one hit, scored their four runs to tie the game up.
So it was tied up 5-5 in the bottom of the fourth at the end of the fourth inning, and you knew, coming down that stretch, one team was going to catch a break somewhere, and it was Buehler that caught the break in the seventh inning. Both teams got out of big jams with double plays in the fifth and the sixth.
And I thought the Bullpups were going to catch a break. Spencer Whitfield, with a runner on first base, Spencer Whitfield
hits. And nobody out.
And nobody out. Spencer Whitfield hits an absolute blast down the first baseline. The first baseman, actually, I think he almost caught the ball right on the bag. I mean, he was either right by, and he was right by the bag. All he had to do was touch the bag. It was a double play. But Spencer Whitfield hit an absolute rocket. And it would have been second and third. Maybe the runner at first would have scored. I can't even remember who. I think it was File, maybe.
Wyatt Seidel.
Big Wyatt. He would have been lumbering around the bases. You know that.
Speedster.
Yeah. And the Bullpups, at the worst, would have had second, third, nobody out. And you just know they would have scored. They would have scored with second and third, nobody out. They would have found a way. If they would have squeezed it or safety squeezed, wild pitch, something like that. And then I have a feeling if they had gotten the lead, Dylan Wearies would have closed it out. Dylan Wearies pitched one heck of a game, and you say, well, how can he pitch a heck of a game when he gives up seven runs? Well, one of those runs was earned. And in the seventh inning, he actually induced about five or six outs. We had a missed fly ball. We had a ball between the legs. Well, actually, the leadoff hitter reached on an error.
Right.
Three of the first four batters reached on an error. So Wearies actually should have been out of the inning. And then he got to the pitch limit. He pitched 6 2/3, and then it's the first time we've seen it all year. A pitcher got to the pitch count, and they had to stop right there. That's the first time we've seen that, I think, that you and I have seen it this year
right
in a game.
So the Bullpups gave up two in the top of the seventh. Do you remember what I kept saying in the top of that seventh inning?
You had – oh, okay.
Is that I kept saying, coming up in the bottom of
right
the seventh
– you have the top three guys in the order.
The top three in the order. And you know that those seniors are going to give you a chance.
Yep.
Dylan Wearies, leadoff walk. As Denny Matthews would say, leadoff walk, late in close games, always come back to bite.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately for McPherson, it didn't come back. But then Gunnar Reis with a single. Zane Myers with a walk. And all of a sudden, the bases are loaded, down two, in the bottom of the seventh inning.
And
you can't draw it up any better.
And I'm thinking in my head, well, whoever gets the big hit, what are we going to call it? There's going to be some kind of, you know, the, you remember Elway's miracle pass or the fumble Ernest Biner had? You know, you're going to associate the bullpup that got the hit that put him in the state. And I was trying to think, who's it going to be? How am I going to write this story? And then they bring in Jake Brown from left field. And after watching Jake Brown throw, why in the world did they wait until the Bullpups loaded the bases to bring him in? He was tough.
Yeah.
He threw gas. He got Gabe Hoover called third strike, and that pitch had been pretty much a strike all night. It was borderline, but you've got to be swinging in that situation. It's too close to take. You know, you can't let the umpire decide it. You've got to decide it. And I know that Gabe Hoover would love to have that, take a swing at that pitch. And then the last two outs, pretty routine. Jake Brown gets it, and it was, you know, we remember Jade back in football and the Buehler players down on the ground, you know, their heads in the ground. Well, that was the Bullpups We saw we'd seen the thrill of victory on the Bullpups. We saw the agony of defeat yesterday.
So it was an unfortunate end to a really fun season for McPherson baseball, losing 7-5 in the regional final.
And I've written about this several times, and maybe I was wrong. But I thought before...
No, you were wrong?
Well, I'm snarky, but I'm not wrong.
Yeah, you are snarky.
I am snarky. I've been told I'm snarky.
Oh, the snarkiest.
Yeah, the snarky guy. But, again, I kept saying before the season, 8 wins would be pretty good for this team. And they go 15-7. At times, they were number one in the state. They finished the poll number 3 in the state. You'd love to see what they'd done at state, because when you look at the teams that made state, it's wide open. I think
they would have had a good chance.
I think Ark City's probably the team to beat. They've had a real nice tradition down there. I think they've even maybe won a state championship in their history. But Ark City's always been a good baseball town. And don't count this Bueller team out.
They're a good team.
And after watching them play and watching their pitching in the semifinals and the finals, how did that team lose 7 games?
Yeah.
It makes me wonder how they lost 7 games. Because, and this is no slight at the Bullpups, but I think top to bottom, their pitching was better than McPherson's.
Bueller was a good team.
Dreher threw an unbelievable game. I kept waiting for him to bring him in to close it out, because Hayes, a very good team, they could not put the ball in play against Dreher, who I think threw a 3-hitter, didn't walk anybody. He threw about 50 miles an hour half the time, had great changeup, crafty lefty.
There you go.
Yeah, crafty lefty. You don't ever hear crafty righty. I've always wondered about that. But anyway, Bueller's got the starting pitching. They're a team that's built for the state tournament. And then they've got a great leader in their catcher, Lawson Schultz. He is a tremendous leader. I've got mad respect for that kid.
I enjoyed watching him interact with a lot of the McPherson guys.
Right.
Dylan Weary's had some good interactions. They've been playing against each other
after
forever.
The game, I thought those Bueller kids showed incredible sportsmanship when they came over and talked. Well, these kids have been playing against each other since they were probably 8 or 9 years old.
And they've been playing against each other
and
everything.
Yeah, and everything. So I really, tip of the cap to Bueller. Coach Gerstner said something to me after the game as well. He thought it was great that they came over and were really complimentary. And I thought they really were a class team. Both teams were class teams yesterday. You didn't see the snarkiness that maybe you'd seen
if
in some of
the
other
sports. Field, yeah.
Yeah,
Well, it's a really tough way to end your season, and for some kids, end your high school career with the bases loaded and down by 2 runs in the bottom of the 7th inning. It hurts. And I was telling you this morning that I'll never forget, my junior year, we played an extra inning game. And we get into the 9th inning, we score a run, we go up, and we're feeling good. But we're the visiting team. So we have to go back out, bottom of the 9th, bottom of the 10th, whatever it was. Lead off walk. You know where that's going.
Oh, yeah.
Runners move around, and then a ball gets between the legs of our second baseman and rolls into the outfield. 2 runs coming to score, we lose.
Mm.
The team we just lost to goes on to win the state championship. And you never forget that feeling, walking off the field and going, man, what if? And I know that this McPherson team will feel a lot of that too.
And Bueller's got to be thinking, the last time we beat McPherson in a tough game in the postseason, we went on to win state. Because in 2016, Bueller was the state champion. And they had to score, I believe it was 7 runs in the 6th inning to win the regional. And then when they got to state, they were hardly tested. They rolled through state just like, hot knife through butter. They really did.
So you feel for those McPherson kids after a tough way to end the baseball season. But like you've said so many times, a lot to be very proud of.
Oh, yeah.
A great run. I'm just saying, when you make it to the regional final and you've got a chance to win it in the bottom of the 7th inning with your guys coming up,
right?
It's a fun season.
Yep.
I know that Coach Gerstner and the rest of the team, they'll be bummed today, but I think that they know that they gave a really good effort this year and had a terrific season.
And they're going to have to, I'll tell you what, they are going to have a lot of holes to fill next year, especially in the pitching staff. I think you'll have File, you'll have Wired, and then after that, I don't know. Hoover might throw some next year, but you got a good catcher. in Whitfield. He's going to be a star. I thought he made incredible progress. But you look around the infield, a lot of seniors around the infield. Hoover will be back.
Honesty
Whitaker, Chandler Wired. Shane Starkle played some. Tanner Cheatham played some. Those guys are going to, they played yesterday. You're going to have to count on them. I know I'm forgetting somebody because I'm just doing this, kind of winging it off the top of my head.
I think you hit everybody.
Okay, but anyway, but it was just like this year. I said, where's the offense going to come from? Who knows? This bullpup team might score 7 or 8 runs a game next year. But they're going to have some guys that have never really done it on the big stage before have to step up immediately next year. And I think this time it is a rebuilding year. I thought this year was going to be a rebuilding year, but I really do believe next year will be a rebuilding year. One reason being, we didn't have the numbers this year. We didn't hardly have any freshmen that played, which is really surprising. I don't know if there's middle school kids that are baseball players. I have no idea. We got some really good young teams, young teams, but they're a ways away yet from
that 8-year-old squad. We're going to keep our eye on them.
Hey, 8, 10, and 12-year-olds are all pretty good, it looks like.
So it was a fun day yesterday in Hayes. We got to eat at the Golden Q.
Q.
As always.
Yeah.
Delicious stuff over in Hayes.
And it was interesting. We go to, it's actually, we can say it, it's a bar, restaurant type place.
Yeah, Steve had about 17 beers in between the game.
Yeah, I was pounding down the brewskis. But before Bueller played, they ate at the Q. And then Ulysses, we beat the Ulysses bus to the Q. I got me a double cheeseburger, curly Q's. I was ready to go. I was all set. And had a little Royals baseball playing on there.
That wasn't a lot of fun.
I'll tell you, the Q, they should have done pretty well financially yesterday because they fed probably about 30 guys from Bueller and 30 guys from
Ulysses,
and then you, me, and the Pistol.
That's right.
Along with Shane Backus and Chris Strathman and Hadley Backus.
There you go. We got in right before the Ulysses baseball team got in there. And I was up getting a drink at the fountain, and one of the Ulysses guys was standing there, and I said, hey, you guys played a good game after McPherson beat him 11-1. And he turned to me and was like, yeah, we're just not quite used to seeing pitching that's that good. Zane Myers threw a great game in game one.
Yeah, Zane Myers.
They said they're just not used to seeing that, and they made some big errors in the field that cost them early on.
Yeah, it should have been, realistically, that should have been about a 7-1 game. And Ulysses kind of gave the bullpups some gift runs, especially first inning. Chandler Wired hit a fly ball to center. The outfielders kind of looked at each other. Then they both went for it. They missed it. 3 runs scored.
Well, in the top of the first inning, they had a runner on third and hit a fly ball almost
deep,
to the warning track.
Deep center.
That he didn't score on.
Yeah.
And so you just had the feeling that the bullpups would get through that game. And really, it was a perfect scenario to win 11-1, win it in 4.5 innings, get out of there, get off your feet. But the Bullpups had their baseball season end yesterday, so all that remains for Bullpup sports, girls soccer, who's in action tonight in the regional final, swimming will be at state this weekend, and track and field in regionals today.
We are winding it down, and again, regional track today down at Andale. It is a loaded, loaded regional. Bullpups are really going to have to be at their best just to get, a decent number of kids through. Boys' side, it's going to be really, really tough for a lot of the boys. I know Tyson Stite should get through. But
Brandon Yao keeps running the way he has been.
But the bus isn't running today. Bad hammy. So the 4x1, I don't know who they're going to – Coach Pab didn't indicate who they'll put in there. But unless the bus had him
Tire change.
He's not run day due to a bad hamstring. We're talking about Jace Kinneman. We always call him the bus. Yeah, he is the bus. And he's just the bus. and on the girls' side, I mean, the stars, Barrett, Ruddle, they'll do well. But again, there's so many good kids from Andale, so many good kids from Andover Central. You got Collegiate there. You got Bueller there. Bueller boys, of course, are loaded. They won the league meet. So Bullpups are going to have to be at their best just to get a handful of kids through.
Let's take our first break. We'll talk about Bullpup sports today and upcoming over the weekend in our third segment. But next, because we won't have a show tomorrow, I want to talk about the NBA a little bit and games 3 of the Eastern and Western Conference Finals coming up this weekend. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union. Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. He's Steve Sell. I'm Jim Joyner. Steve, we're still trying to recover from a long day on the road yesterday, and we'll talk about what's coming up tonight for Bullpup Soccer as they take on Andover Central. That'll start at 6 o'clock. We take there about 5:50. Bullpup Track and Field Regionals going on today. State Swimming going on this weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Last night, though, you didn't get to keep up with your favorite team and your favorite player, the Houston
Redbirds?
Rockets and James Harden.
I thought you were talking about my beloved Cardinals.
They're your favorite team, right?
Who?
The Rockets and the Beard.
Yeah, if there's an NBA team, I like Houston.
Yeah, I think you like Houston.
And I said I said they'd win one game in the series. So
well, they won one.
They won one. So now it goes to Golden State. I don't think Houston beats Golden State in either game at Golden State. And then by then it's 3-1. Houston knows it's probably over. It could end up going six. I think six at the most. I think five. But Houston, like I said, we didn't get to see the game. I really haven't read too much about it. I do know Houston really lit it up from 3-point in the first.
16 of 42 in the game.
Yeah, but a lot of that was in the first half when they kind of decided the game.
Steph Curry, 1 out of 8 from 3. Klay Thompson, 8 points. You can't be Golden State
when their guards are
when
doing
that
it.
Happens.
Right.
Where I think Andre Iguodala was at about 6 points. Draymond Green was somewhere in there.
Did he get any tentacles?
Probably 7.
Yeah.
I always laugh that, do you remember that stretch during the beginning of the season where he was going, well, I can't believe that they just have a target on my back. I'm like, dude, you get a technical every game.
Yeah.
So when you start running at the ref, they know you.
He makes Rasheed Wallace look like a choir boy.
Rasheed Wallace. Remember, what about Meta World Peace?
Yeah, that's another one.
Well, that was back when he was Ron Artest.
Yeah.
Back before the World Peace times.
Oh, yeah.
The peace. Malice in the Palace.
Spiritual man.
What a funny thing that was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, probably not as funny if you were getting punched in the face by Ron Artest.
Oh, yeah.
But what an interesting event that was.
That was such a black eye on the NBA. That stigma carried for a long time.
Every now and then I'll go back and watch the full video. It's like 12 minutes.
Was it Indiana and Detroit?
Yes, they were in Detroit.
Was that when the bad boys were finishing up? Or
this was like 04.
Okay.
I was thinking 04 or 05. Malice in the Palace.
Who was the bad dude for Detroit? Detroit had to have some idiot.
I think it was Ben Wallace.
Oh, you wouldn't mess with Ben Wallace. He was a bad dude.
One with the afro.
He was a bad man.
Ron Artest, I see one of the names. It was November of 2004.
Okay.
It's a long time ago.
It is a long time ago.
Fun times.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I don't think that we'll expect to see any Malice in the Bay.
No.
This weekend. So Rockets and Warriors are tied up 1-1. They'll play on Sunday in Game 3 in the Bay, I guess in Oakland. They'll be moving to San Francisco.
Oakland
at
Alameda County Coliseum. I used to always love that.
Yeah. Then at one point it was the O.co Coliseum.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a dump.
I just like when they put the city on their
uniform. That is kind of cool.
That's cool. I like those uniforms.
Then on Saturday, Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Boston with a 2-0 lead. Going to Cleveland.
Not till Saturday?
Not till Saturday.
Wow, they're giving them a long break then.
Well, you know, that travel from Boston to Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, that's
tough on you.
Yeah, what is it, a 2-hour plane?
Probably about a 5-hour bus ride if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So they play on Saturday. That game starts at 7:30 on ESPN. The reason we're talking about this now is that we will have no show tomorrow. Late into the night tonight. I'll be driving home. I've got a wedding this weekend. Ready to really party it up. I'm in the wedding this time.
Uh-oh.
I'll send you a picture. I'm going to be looking good.
Golf. You got some golf in there,
Yeah, I'm going to play in a golf tournament tomorrow morning.
Baker University.
That's right.
Proud alum. Kind of like McPherson College and their alumni golf.
Yeah.
They have.
I'll be looking good all weekend.
Sure.
Might be some cocktails at the golf course tomorrow morning, which I don't know if I'm prepared
for an
8:30 a.m. Bud Light.
Nah.
It'll be interesting.
I don't think so.
I don't think I'm going to want that, but sometimes you never know. So that's why we're talking about this now. Cleveland and Boston. Boston up 2-0. Cleveland wins game three. We got a series.
Yeah, but if they don't,
they're if they don't win game three, I trust LeBron won't let them get swept. But if they don't win game three,
it'll be a 4-1-er.
Then they're toast.
I think you're right. I don't think LeBron lets them lose four straight. But this is the end. To me, this is the end of LeBron in Cleveland. The LeBron era is going to be over in Cleveland. I just think he's heading west. You know, he can make more money. Like, he really needs any more money.
I don't think LeBron is worried about that.
There's more endorsements out in the West, you know. He does commercials, though.
I don't think he needs more money.
No.
LeBron has a lot of money.
LeBron could start his own town, his own city. He could fund an entire city.
Well, he funds like 50 kids to go to college
yeah.
from Akron.
Yeah.
So, we'll keep our eye on that this weekend, and hopefully when we come back here, we have a couple of really good series that we get to talk about on Monday of next week. But the NBA playoffs are starting to sizzle, and especially that Western Conference final. 1-1 the tie in that series.
I still don't think it's going to be close, though. I just don't think it's going to be. I still think 4-1, 4-2. I think Golden State, Houston got their attention now. They're gonna refocus. Steph's going to come out and throw in about 35. Durant's going to score about 45. Draymond's going to get about 10 assists. Klay Thompson's going to whine that he doesn't get the ball enough, and he'll be business as usual.
Let's take our final break. When we come back, time to preview today for Bullpup Sports, as well as the upcoming weekend for McPherson High. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening on podcast, hello from the future at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Steve, we mentioned a moment ago that we're starting to wind down the sports season altogether, not just the spring sports season, but the school year
right.
coming to an end as the seniors year are already of out of school. The year of the bullpup, is that on the Chinese calendar?
I think it is.
It's like year of the dragon,
yeah.
year of the dog. Well, yeah. I guess that's the year of the bullpup, maybe.
Yeah.
Year of the chicken.
Yeah.
We just slid that one in here nice this year.
Year of the iguana.
Yeah. I don't know if that would have made the old Chinese calendar. I don't know a lot about China, but my guess
there's not a lot of
iguanas. There's not a lot of iguanas.
Okay.
Maybe some.
Okay, well, I didn't
Maybe
know.
Some big pets.
Big fan of iguanas.
Komodo dragon? Is it Komodo or Komodo?
I have no idea.
Those big dragons?
Yeah.
I think those are in Asia.
Yeah.
So big lizard. Not as good as the salty iguana.
No, not the salty iguana.
Well, the year of the bullpup is coming to a close and will be closed by almost this time next week.
Yeah, we're going to have to add up all the league championships won. I haven't gone through, but
luckily we don't put up league championship banners inside the roundhouse.
We don't do that.
Out of space.
We don't do that. There's schools that put up league championship banners. If we did that, you wouldn't even be able to see the basketball court because we wouldn't have any. There'd be so many
you
banners
have to start
up,
stapling them to the ceiling.
Yeah, there, we'd have so many banners that wouldn't be able to even see. You hang them down, staple one on the, keep them going straight down, and they'd probably be on the floor.
We could probably put a few over Steve's Wall of Fame plaque.
Yeah, it needs to be covered up. Probably some people say, "Why is he on there? He doesn't deserve to be on there."
Hey, he's a state champion coach, even though assistant coach.
I was co-head coach.
Oh, okay.
I was spiritual advisor. That was my role. I was the guy that I handled the mental aspect.
Yeah. Then give them the cheat sheets for Indy.
That's right.
Indy's golf course.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a fun time coaching. I think I coached 5 years of high school golf.
I think you'd be a good coach. I wouldn't think you'd be a big rah-rah guy.
No, but I'll tell you.
Golf's not a rah-rah sport
but,
anyway.
You know, we patterned our practices after the college programs we played in. The first week of the year, we didn't even have the kids out on the course. They were on the putting clock and the chipping green, and that's all they did for like 2 hours a day, chip and putt, because that's where you can get the long ball back very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And even the medium iron game. But chipping and putting, You've got to get that back in a hurry. That's the last thing to come back.
All right, Coach. I should start calling you Coach. Coach Sal.
Yeah.
What'd they call you? What'd the kids call you? Coach?
Nah, Steve? Hey, you, I think.
Hey, idiot.
Yeah. No, they call me by my first name.
I got hey, radio guy, yeah, last night after the game.
Well, I'd play with those guys in the summer sometimes. Back when I don't think it was legal you could, but you weren't supposed to play with the kids on the high school team. It was during the season. You couldn't play with them if it wasn't a practice.
Okay.
So, like, if, say, one of the players was out there on Sunday and you came out there, you couldn't play with them on Sunday. It's only during practice. So, you can play with them in the summer, though.
Well, speaking of, I don't know, I don't have a good way to transition that. We went off the rails. Bullpup sports tonight.
Soccer.
Girls soccer, 6 o'clock, McPherson Stadium. The Bullpups are taking on Andover Central in the regional final. So they are down to, for those of you that need this in number terms, final 16 teams in Class 4 through 1A.
Be down to 8 after tonight. And let's get a lot of people out there tonight. Bullpups could use a
great
big crowd
on
and
Tuesday.
And the thing
night.
Is, the days of the 10-0, 14-0 type games,
they're gone.
Done. Finished. Andover Central, very good defensive team. Don't be surprised if this is like a 2-0 game. It wouldn't surprise me at all because Andover Central is going to pack it in. That's the only way they got a chance to win. They can't. Teams know when they play McPherson, they're not going to outscore them.
I've got an interesting number for you here, Steve.
Okay.
So Andover Central has only outscored its opponents 32-12. So they've only scored 32 goals.
And they played 17 games.
In 9 games this year, Andover Central has scored 0 goals.
Wow.
So in more than half, they have scored 0.
Yeah.
But they have shut out their opponents in 11 games.
Wow.
They have 3 0-0 ties. So this is a team that is not going to score often, but they're not going to give up a lot of goals either. It was 4-0 the last time these two teams played.
So the key to the game for the Bullpups is score early.
Yeah.
Get up early and then go from there.
Track and field regionals today in Andale. It's going to be a really tough day.
Yeah.
And they want to get as many as possible into the state tournament and the state championships next week in Wichita.
The team scores matter nothing.
Right.
Coach
all
Pav
individual.
Says, yeah, Pav says this is all about getting people to state. You don't care. The team points will take care of themselves if you get there.
Right.
But you got to get kids there. So they're putting the kids in the best possible place to make it. You have to have a top 4 finish to go to state.
Swimming in state this weekend in Topeka, in the top city.
Top 10 would be a good finish.
Yeah.
I really think. Coach Bradstreet, she's excited. She thinks that she'll have several kids that make the top 8.
And then after that, we'll see what happens at the end of this weekend. We know there will be at least a few Bullpups at state track and field. Mm-hmm. There will be a few that make it.
Right.
And then girls soccer, hopefully they win tonight and get into next week.
Well, we want to be in North Newton a week from tomorrow.
North Newton sounds pretty good.
Yep.
I don't know how many other times that you'll say
we
that.
We would be outside broadcasting, though, just so you know.
Ooh, that. Where at?
At the John Gearing Stadium.
But just outside, like in the press box, like
that
a little
we are
balcony?
Underneath, they have a, it's an all-brick kind of press.
Yeah.
But there's a little area where we're outside. We're covered.
In the elements. Like it.
Yeah, we're covered. And I did a couple football games. Mac twice got stopped because of lightning. And one night we didn't even finish. We had to come back the next day and finish on a Sunday.
Let's hope for none of that. So we wrap up today's show. Soccer tonight. We take the air at 5:50 McPherson at Andover Central. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tonight at McPherson Stadium.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.